The result was totally unexpected. Mr. Tsung flashed in, drew himself up to his full 5 feet, and said,
"No!"
Then he struggled to find more words from his meager store of English.
They lords!
He couldn't say what he wanted to say. An amazed Johnny saw Mr. Tsung tear out of the room and come back in a moment with the coordinator for the Chinese, one who spoke Mandarin. Mr. Tsung was blazing away at the coordinator with every shot in his magazine. Mr. Tsung died down. The coordinator opened his mouth to speak. Mr. Tsung thought of something else, battered the coordinator with it, and only then stood back with a "so there" expression and put his hands in his sleeves and bowed. The coordinator, a black-bearded Scot, took a deep breath.
You're maybe not gonna like this, McTyler, but you've gotten yourself a diplomatic manager. I know these Chinese, and when they get their minds set on something, they're worse than my old woman.
Johnny had lain back. He addressed the ceiling.
And what is wrong with my simply asking for my best buckskin suit to be laid out?
Everything,
said the coordinator.
Just everything.
He sighed and began to explain.
Mr. Tsung is a descendant of a family that served as chamberlains to the Qing Dynasty, those who ruled China from the Mandate 1644 AD to about 1911, maybe 1100 years ago. That was the last dynasty before China became a people's republic. The court and emperors were not Chinese. They were a race called Manchus, and they needed a lot of advice. Tsung says his family served them well, but times changed. And because they had served the Manchus, his ancestors were exiled to Tibet. It was the Western powers that overthrew the Manchus, Tsung says, not his family's advice. So Mr. Tsung here is really a Mandarin of the Blue Button, according to ancestry, a lord of the court. He says all the family records and scrolls are with the Chinese University Library. You put in a vault someplace.
Russia. They're in the Russian base, though Lord knows how it's holding out right now.
Well, good. He says he could read you some of it, but he doesn't have it here. But his family always kept up on its background, expecting someday a dynasty they could serve would come back into power. They have long memories, these Chinese. Imagine waiting 1100 years to get back a job.
Mr. Tsung detected this was wandering off track, and he nudged the coordinator's arm and made gestures that clearly said, "Tell him, tell him." The coordinator sighed. He was not sure how Johnny would take this.
He says you are Lord Johnny, and...
He got it all out in a rush.
You can't go around looking like a barbarian.
If Johnny had not been so worried about other things, he would have laughed. The coordinator was relieved that this had not been received as criticism. He continued.
He says he knew there would be a diplomatic conference, and that a lot of lords would be arriving, and that they would be very uppish and snobbish and fancy. And it's true enough. I've seen them coming in on the platform. Jeweled breathe masks, glittering cloth, ornaments. One even had a jeweled monocle. Pretty fancy dudes.
He then swallowed and said the rest in a rush.
And if you go out there and talk to them and hide, they'll think you're just a barbarian and won't listen to you. He says if you look and act...
He swallowed again.
Like an uncouth savage, they'll hold you in contempt.
He stopped, relieved to have gotten through it.
And that's what he was trying to tell you. Don't be upset with him. I could add that, quite in addition to a genuine affection for you, about 35,000 lives... No... Less than that now, but a lot, depend on this conference. Otherwise, I wouldn't have translated it for him because, to me, McTyler, you're no barbarian.
Johnny thought all he would have to do was reassure Mr. Tsung he would be polite and not slap anybody, and that would be that. But not so.